Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Today it's Groundhog Day. I'm catching a lot of crap for not putting Ghostbusters in my top three Bill Murray movies.
As am I.
I don't. What's so special about Ghostbusters?
I mean,
you've seen one Harold Ramis
movie,
you've seen them all. He does nothing for me, Harold Ramis.
Didn't he do Groundhog Day?
Was he in there?
I think he did.
I didn't rank Groundhog Day in my top three, so I don't have to worry about that.
He also probably directed all of those too.
I didn't have Stripes
in my top
three.
He also did Caddyshack.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Where is he in Caddyshack?
Like, where? He directed it.
Oh, he's not a character in it?
No.
Well, see, that's the problem. When he tried to branch out into acting and he became a character in these movies,
oh,
he brought
it down. Oh, so now your cover story is you don't like movies where Harold Ramis
Harold Ramis,
acts.
Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, Ramis.
I think you've been caught with your hand in the proverbial cookie jar here, my friend. Just besmirching the good name of Harold Ramis when you don't realize he's responsible for so many
hits. You know
hits.
Why, ultimately, I can't put Groundhog Day in my top three? Too much of a love story.
But
too lovey-dovey.
But I think its deeper meaning is why people like it so much. That's why I like it. I'm an auteur. I'm a guy
See,
who
I'm
appreciates
surprised
the
you like
things.
It because I think it would have been a better movie for you if he never got out of the vicious cycle of repeating the day. The happy ending, I would feel like, ruined it for you.
Now, I actually wanted to... No, because he actually becomes a good person, which I like to think I am at heart. Actually, now that you're saying it, the idea of him willfully deciding to stay in the loop and just become a god of Punxsutawney is like an amazing storyline.
Well, didn't he do that in some of the montages that they showed where he just completely asked around?
Yeah, he asked around. He became like the world's basically greatest piano player, everything else. I think somebody did an estimate once based on the whole 10,000 hours to become an expert at anything, that theory, as to how long he was in the time loop. Somebody said he was on Groundhog Day for 10,000 years, Donnie. He lived that day 10,000 times.
There are worse things. I think I would have been fine
than
with it.
Than a time loop?
Yeah.
What if it's a time loop where the only event is you getting your ass kicked? Like at that party. You just got knocked out cold and had to get carried like a pallbearer without the coffin.
I think I would have just stayed home and binge watched stuff.
So like knowing how that night was going to turn out, as long as the time loop starts early enough, you just are watching TV.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get punched. Would you have gone and gotten punched in the face a couple of times just to remember what it felt like?
Probably. So we on yesterday's show, speaking of rankings, I guess we're in ranking season. We ranked the top five quarterbacks since the year 2000 in honor of Brady's retirement. So really since Brady came into the league. We had him one. We all had Peyton Manning two. Donnie had Ben Roethlisberger five. He had him in the top five. He didn't have Aaron Rodgers in his top five, which we found interesting. So NFL.com every year with a new Super Bowl ranks all of the quarterbacks who have played in Super Bowls on their career accomplishments. So who is the most decorated or best quarterback to play in a Super Bowl? And who is the absolute worst? For those who are curious by the novelty of the worst, they actually don't think it's Trent Dilfer. They think it's Rex Grossman, the former Bears quarterback. They think the second worst quarterback to ever play in a Super Bowl is a former Steelers quarterback, David Woodley, from the year he was Miami's quarterback in 82, the year before Dan Marino got there.
Did the Colts beat the... Quick question. When they beat the Bears, did they beat the Patriots in the AFC title game that year? Was that a Colts-Patriots AFC title game?
Yes.
Because who was it that told us that, I guess, Peyton, somebody told a story basically saying congrats on winning the Super Bowl after the AFC Championship because they knew Sexy Rexy was waiting on the other side.
Really?
And he wasn't beating anybody. Yeah, that's how disrespected he was among
other
players.
Jalen Hurts as the 57th best quarterback to play in the Super Bowl because
he hasn't done just started.
He's in his third year. They have Stan Humphrey, 61. They have former Cook and Joe producer Joe Kopp, 60th on this list. Did you know Joe Kopp was a quarterback?
I did.
You did. You know for what team?
No.
Vikings.
You know Andy Kapp makes French fries?
Oh, so, I know about him.
So I want to get some listener feedback on this in a second. Because we did this yesterday, and we did modern quarterbacks, and we got a lot of reaction from people. So NFL.com, they don't have Roethlisberger or Bradshaw in the top 10 quarterbacks to play in a Super Bowl. Quarterbacks with a combined 6 rings. Here are the quarterbacks they have ranked ahead of them. Brady, 1. John Unitas, 2. Joe Montana, 3. Peyton Manning, 4. Dan Marino, 5. So, pretty cool 3 Western PA quarterbacks in the top 5. But they have Marino as the 5th best quarterback of all time without ever winning a Super Bowl.
It doesn't strike me as, like, that far off, though. Dude, if Marino even wins, two Super Bowls, wins the one that he gets to in his second year, and then wins another one randomly several years later,
yeah,
I think he's probably put up there as the top 3 guy all time with Brady and Manning, and maybe ahead of Manning.
Okay, but he didn't, though.
I know, but is that tarnished? Does that, like, really dock him?
I'm not saying Dan Marino should be, like, you know, excommunicated or exiled out of the fraternity of best quarterbacks.
Here's the question I always ask. Is he a better quarterback than Ben?
Yes.
Is he better than Bradshaw?
Yes.
Okay.
But as I'm getting to, those guys aren't even in the top 15.
Well, keep going. After Marino at 5, who else do we have?
Well, one guy's in the top 15, not in the top 10.
Who else do we have?
Aaron Rodgers, 6. Brett Favre, 7.
You think Rodgers has already sent this list to Favre in a text?
Steve Young, 8. John Elway, 9. Mahomes, 10. They already have Mahomes as one of the 10 best quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era.
I'd put Mahomes ahead of Young.
Staubach, who lost to Bradshaw twice and had an abbreviated career because of the military service, they have Staubach, 11. Breeze, 12. The 3 people on this show have a much higher opinion of Breeze than the NFL's website, apparently. Bart Starr, Super Bowl 1 and 2 with Vince Lombardi in Green Bay, 13. Now it gets really bad. Fran Tarkenton, who lost 3 Super Bowls in the 70s, 14.
He was Jim Kelly before Jim Kelly was Jim Kelly.
Then you get to Ben, 15. Then Aikman, 16, finally Bradshaw, 17.
Bradshaw's getting a much rawer deal even than Ben is here, I think.
Well, I think it's a stupid list in general.
Okay.
Because why is it
tell
just
us how you really feel.
Oh, this guy happened to play in a Super Bowl. He participated, but I'm just ranking him based on what he's done in his whole career. So just do a ranking of greatest quarterbacks of all time then, pal.
Yeah, really, that is
Dan Marino, number 5. The dude went to 1 and he lost.
So who's like a guy that would be up above this? Like Randall Cunningham would have a better case because he would have been an NFC title game and never played in a Super Bowl kind of guy.
I think the whole point is here to qualify to make the list. You had to have played in a Super Bowl, and then once you met that barrier of entry, I'm just ranking all those players, not based on what they did in one
Bradshaw's
game, but what they did in their
Bradshaw
entire
Bradshaw was 4-0 in Super Bowls.
No, I know, but if they're trying to measure his whole career.
Yeah, well, and then it's also dumb because
yeah,
the
but
guy,
you think Ben had a better you didn't obviously watch Bradshaw play, but you have been ahead of Bradshaw all time, don't you?
Yes, but I mean, I also whenever I saw
well, then
this
Bradshaw
list,
really didn't get that raw of a deal.
Well,
Ben did.
No, he did. But I misinterpreted this list because I didn't realize it had the stupid caveat of, oh, these are just all-time great quarterbacks who happen to play in a Super Bowl, and I'm going to take their overall numbers.
Like, Eli Manning's 2-0 with two MVPs, and he's 32nd on this
list. He should be in the top 10.
Behind Earl Morrill.
If it was a list of how guys played in the Super Bowl. Plus, they got Joe Namath right behind Bradshaw. Joe Namath stunk compared to Bradshaw.
That's a fiery take.
That's a take
I'm not going to co-sign.
That's a take I used to have, Donnie, and then I've had it explained to me by people who actually watched the NFL of that era that if anything...
And AFL.
Yeah, that if anything, Namath's underrated. Like, that the numbers do not do him justice and do not really paint an accurate picture of what quarterbacking was like.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That instrument right there.
Perhaps a calliope?
I hear Kansas opens every concert with this song to just get the place moving and grooving.
Well, you've got to leave.
It's their hallmark.
So what do they do? Like, Carry On My Wayward Son probably finishes the show. Is Dust in the Wind like the mid-show? You got to get everybody, make sure, hey, you know you're watching Kansas and We Got Hits.
This is to fire everybody up to start. This is like your leadoff hitter.
Makes sense.
Get on base.
Get on base. Maybe have Dust in the Wind, rack them, and then you bring
right.
it home.
So we got Kansas tickets to give away. Some older fans remember.
Can you
some
name
of these...
Kansas's lead singer?
John Fogerty.
Pony.
Lanny Poffo.
No, he's got. I say this because I think this man has a great name to be said by, in a true Yinzer accent. Yeah, it's that Carrie Livgren.
Oh.
From Topeka.
My next guest is going to be Dick Trickle.
Yeah?
Remember him?
Yeah. Wasn't the guy for the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, Dick Pound?
No.
Yeah, dude.
I'm pretty sure he's right.
I think he was a guy with the IOC.
So, some Kansas lovers out there will be helpful because this NFL website list of Super Bowl era quarterbacks, they ranked them. And I didn't mention this last segment, but Neil O'Donnell is in here at 52. They think Neil O'Donnell had a better career than Kaepernick, who he ranked ahead of, and Jared Goff, who almost won an MVP. Anyways, 14 Super Bowl-era quarterbacks were ranked ahead of Ben. Brady, Johnny U, Montana, Manning, Marino, Rodgers, Favre, Steve Young, Elway, Mahomes, Staubach, Breeze, Starr, Tarkenton, then Big Ben. Where does Big Ben deserve to be ranked? Top 5, top 10, top 20. Where would you put Big Ben's career? 412-928-9370. I think what I've learned here in just doing this exercise on our own, we'll take calls in a second on it, and talking to you guys about it yesterday and today, is that, do I have this right? The consensus seems to be that if Mahomes needed his foot amputated today and was unavailable for the Super Bowl on Sunday, he's already done enough in his career that his career resume is better than Ben's?
Yeah. So here's how I would break it down quickly. He's been the starter there for 5 years, so he's played in the NFL for six, but we know that first year he just sat. He has...
So his five great years are better than 18 years of Ben.
I'm just going by the accolades that a lot of people like to cite here, okay? Forget about counting stats. That's obviously where Ben has him beat. He's got a Super Bowl MVP, 1-0 on Ben in that category. He's got an NFL MVP, and he's going to have two after this season, 2-0. I think we can say that pretty safely, right? You feel good about me saying he's going to win it this year?
He will.
Okay. He has one Super Bowl victory, one less than Ben, has a chance to get two.
No, I'm saying if his foot was amputated, he doesn't. This is it. We've already ranked him ahead. Like, it's not contingent on Mahomes winning this game that
fine.
He's ranked
He'll
ahead of Ben.
He'll have been to three Super
Bowls.
The
NFL's website did it. You did it yesterday. Donnie did it yesterday. Fine. And I did it yesterday. We've all said that 5 years of Mahomes better than 18
He'll
of Ben.
He'll have played in the same number of Super Bowls. He would have one less Super Bowl. But he would have also done something which I think is underrated. He will have been the starting quarterback for a team that hosted, not played in, hosted, five straight AFC title games. Ben's entire career here, they played three AFC championship games at Heinz Field.
Okay, so this is an old Mike and the Mad Dog game. Did you see Mike and the Mad Dog on with Stephen A. yesterday? I think people are familiar enough with them. Mike and the Mad Dog from New York.
Dog.
They used to do a thing when I was growing up and I would hear them that I always got a huge kick out of.
Okay.
They would bring up a guy and they would do Hall of Fame years.
Okay.
And so they would cite a year, they'd give you the stats, and you'd have to decide... Okay, is that a year that makes him Hall of Fame worthy?
Oh, I bet Francesa just loved
this. Like, for example, we do this with Antonio Brown. He had that stretch of, what, 5 years?
Six years
where, like, every year was a great year.
Mm-hmm.
Just six, quote, Hall of Fame years.
Yep.
So Mahomes, every year he's been a starter, has been a Hall of Fame year, right? He's got five Hall of Fame years.
Yes, I would say so.
Okay, let's do Roethlisberger. 2004, goes 13-0. As a rookie, wins the Rookie of the Year. Is that a Hall of Fame year?
I think it should be, yeah.
I think it is. Would you agree with that,
Donnie?
I think
that should be. I think that's reasonable.
2005. Do I even need to say the numbers? That's a Hall of Fame year. They win the Super Bowl?
Two.
He's got two. 2006, no. 23 picks.
Already a no.
2007, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Best passer rating of his career.
Yes.
Okay, so that's...
Let's say yes.
He's got three.
2008.
Yes, four.
2008 has an asterisk on it. It was the worst... Full year he played.
But he won the Super Bowl.
I know,
yes.
But that's so frustrating to me because it's a Hall of Fame drive to get him another Super
Bowl,
but it was a year of mediocre play.
2009, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
No.
2010, they go to the Super Bowl. No?
17 touchdowns, 5 picks.
12 games.
Okay, but that's still not overwhelming. That's averaging 1.5 touchdowns.
Is just getting them to the Super Bowl enough? I would actually side with Mueller on this because... Would we say Jimmy Garoppolo had a Hall of Fame year when he just got the 49ers to the Super Bowl? Did Neil O'Donnell have a Hall of Fame year when he just got the Steelers there?
Let me ask you another thing.
I would agree with you on that, actually.
But as another element to this, like, I know that there's not, like, the morals clause or anything like that, but what we call a year where he only played 12 games
for a very suspended. Specific...
That's not a great
2011,
year.
Ben Roethlisberger went 11-4, 21 touchdowns, 14 picks, Hall of Fame year?
No.
2012, 7-6... 13 games, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
No, can't say it there either.
2013, 8-8, 28 touchdowns, 14 picks.
Nope.
2014, 11-5.
Yes.
Led the league in passing yards, 32 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Yes.
Okay, so now he's got 5 Hall of Fame years. 2015, 7-4, 21 touchdowns, 16 picks.
No.
2016, 10-4, 29 touchdowns, 13 picks.
On the border for me.
I would say no.
I'm saying no because 13 is still a lot of picks.
2017, 12-3, 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
No.
No.
You're the one. Dude, I'm going to use your own take against you. You called that one of the worst 13-3 teams ever. A team basically built by Chris Boswell's right foot.
And they didn't win a playoff game.
Correct.
And I mean, Donnie, you want to quibble
14,
with that?
He threw 14 picks.
Does that add to his Hall of Fame candidacy or not? Does it enhance it or no?
If he had maybe even 5 more touchdowns, I would say yes, but it's just a 2-to-1 ratio there.
Okay. 2018, 9-6-1, they missed the playoffs, but he led the league in passing yards with 5,000. But he also led the league in picks with 16.
If you're going to insist, both of you, that a year where they win the Super Bowl but he has the worst single season set of numbers of his career is a Hall of Fame year, then I'm going to insist this isn't, despite all the leading the league stats. They're all in volume stats, not in, like, efficiency.
So, like, Jameis Winston leading the league in passing yards kind of thing.
He led
you.
The league in attempts and completions, too. He better have led it in yards.
All right, 2019, a lost season. How about 2020? 12-3. 33 touchdowns, 10 picks, 11-0.
You know what I'm going to say here. Negative. That year...
Those are great numbers, though.
Did he ever strike you that year as a guy who was playing the position at an ultra-high level?
No, but the numbers are the numbers, aren't they? At 38 years old?
Man, I think you're trying to squeeze a year in here.
Donnie? Are you going to throw me a life preserver on this one?
I think the argument's there to put that
you
one
on. You lose
to
your hated arch-rival? In humiliating fashion in the playoffs.
Okay, so either way, bottom line is there's like maybe 7, best case scenario, 7 or 8.
Don't you go back?
And Holmes already has 5.
Don't you already say a guy who's 5-for-5 and racking up Hall of Fame years is having a better, like, has had a better career success rate wise? We're saying about 1 out of every 2.5 to 3 of Ben's. Mahomes is 5-for-5, and let's be honest, next year he'll probably be 6-for-6.
I just think some Steelers fans would find it insulting that the consensus here is that we all
actually put Mahomes
ahead of him.
I actually don't. And this is going to surprise you both, or maybe you're not going to agree with it, I should say. I think what Mahomes did to beat Burrow and the Bengals in this past game on the ankle all jacked up like that.
One Steelers fans over even more?
I do. Well, because I think they would also say Ben's toughness in games like that, where he might have exacerbated or, you know, exaggerated injuries a little bit, but he was definitely actually hurt, is one of his greatest attributes. I think that game won Mahomes a lot of fans.
Here's Tony on the Ben rankings. Hello, Tony.
I think Ben's is probably legitimate where he is.
Okay. So 15th, right? Top
15. Now, how long you been watching football for, Tony, if you don't mind aging yourself a little bit? You okay with that?
I'm 65 years old.
Okay, so when you hear the name Fran Tarkenton ahead of Ben, does that bug you?
The problem with this is I think Amos should be aligned somewhere where there's different areas of play for quarterbacks. Like, Fran Tarkenton ran around a lot. He was chased a lot.
Okay, then let's do more recent. Are you offended that Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees are ahead of Big Ben?
Well, not Drew Brees. Drew Brees did it just on numbers. I think Super Bowls have to weigh in way more than what people think they do,
okay,
or this particular list does. I put more of a value on winning Super Bowls because it's just so hard to do.
But you're saying Ben should be where he is at 15, bottom line.
Just for the simple reason is Mahomes is going to be a great quarterback. In 5 years, he's going to be a great quarterback.
Well, Mahomes is already ahead of him on this list. Mahomes is 10.
Well, hey, should Bradshaw be ahead of Ben?
Oh, how about that, Tony?
I think he should be ahead. I think he should be ahead because he's ahead of Ben on the curve.
Okay.
5 years, the MVPs, the numbers.
What about Bradshaw?
What about Bradshaw, Tony?
Should Bradshaw be ahead of him?
I think Bradshaw should be ahead of him just because of the era
titles.
Play.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Put Tony on hold. He might be going to Kansas.
Very consistent guy right there.
How about a guy who's in Hawaii? I don't know if he's going to fly back to Pittsburgh for Kansas, but we can ask him. Kevin, would you fly back to Pittsburgh to see Kansas in concert?
I wouldn't. However, my daughter lives in Pittsburgh.
Well, there you go. You can gift him to her. She can go hear Dust in the Wind.
Kind of guy I am. That's the kind of guy I am.
All right, so where should Ben be ranked all time, Kevin? Give it to us.
Yeah, number 9. So if you went number – the top 10, I'd say Brady with an asterisk with seven rings.
What's the asterisk for?
Yeah, I mean, you got Bradshaw with four. Championships matter. I know they don't to the Steelers and Art Rooney anymore, but they still matter to the rest of the league. And so four Super Bowls are four Super Bowls. Joe's got three, pure passer. Peyton, probably the smartest guy ever on the field. Johnny U with three. John Elway with two and just a phenomenal athlete. Dan, purest passer of all time, just couldn't win it. And then you got Roger with two only because he kept running up against the 70 Steelers. Big Ben and then Otto Graham. I don't have Rodgers on the list. Mahomes not there yet because he's got to do it over a longer time period. Plus, the other thing that hurts me a little on
Mahomes. Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you about, you said Ben's got two. Aikman's got three.
Yeah, but Troy was on a team. And don't get me wrong, you're right. But I put Otto in front of Troy.
Well, we don't even put Otto in here because he didn't play in the Super Bowl era, Kevin. So we didn't even consider
also,
him.
Also, the argument for Troy, I'm going to guess,
and Montana
Kevin,
has four, by the way.
Yeah, he has four. Kevin. I also was thinking that. The argument for Troy that I'm betting he was going to make was Troy was surrounded by such a stacked team. Then don't you have to say Ben's Super Bowls are in years where they had the third-ranked and top-ranked defense in the entire NFL? Like, that's not irrelevant. Just because it's not his side of the ball that's loaded doesn't mean that doesn't matter.
Yeah, what
matter.
About guys on the defensive side of the ball with the Steelers? Because Trey Essex made that point to me on Twitter when I asked him about Aikman. He said, well, and I agree with him on Aikman. Aikman basically had a turnkey team.
But, like, Ben walked into a situation where the defense was loaded.
What did Ben have, chopped liver?
The year they won it in 08, I would stress to people, you know how we laughed about how this year I think the worst scoring team in the league was Tampa to make the playoffs at 25th and then Baltimore at 19th? 20th-ranked scoring offense in 08 when they won it. 20th.
They just had an amazing defense.
20th.
Here's Daniel next. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. Where would you put Big Ben?
Top 15.
Okay.
So is he about just right where he
is? You're saying just right. You're saying they got the right bowl of porridge here with him, ranking him 15th.
No, I think he, at least he should be ahead of Breeze. Just if we're talking Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I just told you, you said right
well,
top.
Wait, how does your criteria work? We're talking Super Bowl.
No, I get
only.
What he's saying. He's saying between 10 and 15. He's saying he's not exactly 15. Yeah.
But you put him ahead of Breeze.
Talking Super Bowls only.
Okay. Because that's it? That's the trump card for him, Super Bowls?
Yes.
So then does Bradshaw have to be ahead of Ben because he's got double the Super Bowls?
In my opinion, yeah.
Okay.
Another guy that's consistent. I guess
Aikman then has to be ahead of him.
Aikman.
Hold on then. Does Ben have to be ahead of Dan Marino?
You know who
I guess Trent Dilfer's got to be ahead of old Danny. That's the classic comeback to that. Poor Trent Dilfer gets used as a chess piece.
You have
more
no
than
idea
anything.
When I've been in these arguments with Bouchette about this stuff, where I feel like I'm losing the battle, and I've had to pull out that Dan Marino card so many times.
But it never loses. You just flip it over, and he goes, ah, damn it, Marino again.
Because I know Ed is a soft spot for Marino, and it always changes.
Wait, are you sitting and having random arguments with, like, via text message?
No, like, on the air. I've had this, you know, what we're doing right now with Ed, and I'm like, oh, man, I feel that I'm really losing the momentum in this, and then I just have to go to the Marino well.
You just reach up your sleeve, and here's a 13 in teal. I mean, man, Marino is kind of the monkey wrench in this whole thing when people try to rank these guys
properly.
He's ranked
fifth on this list.
No, I know, but he's got to be the most divisive person because there are people for whom winning a title or titles matters so
much. But then there are
so
many people in Pittsburgh who watch the guy play and are like, I have to put him, he's just so good. I have to, like, the crux of my argument, I have to destroy to include him in these things.
Because he's just so good.
Yes. Is he still on hold, our guy there?
The most recent one?
Yes, Dan. Give him the Kansas tickets. Give him the Kansas tickets.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Straight away, Nelly Cummings steps into the three. And he drains that three. Nelly, 46-43. Panthers within three. Cummings with 15 points to pace the Panthers. Nelly gets by a screen. Moving three. He drains another one and ties the game. 18 points for Nelly Cummings.
Back-to-back threes by Nelly on both sides of the basket.
Cummings steps into yet another three. He drains three in a row. The trifecta for Nelly Cummings. 49-46.
I was hoping for a whoa, Nelly, from Bill Hillgrove last night.
Did you agree with the ACC announce team on TV side, who were clearly like in the tank for North Carolina? All apologies to Wes Durham for saying this.
His dad was their play-by-play
right.
guy.
But like in the tank for Carolina, they kept insisting this game's slipping away from Pitt. Did you actually buy that at all? I thought things were in a slight danger zone, and then they very quickly weren't because of those three.
Pitt's very comfortable in these tight games late, man. Miami, that epic comeback. They beat North Carolina in December. They stormed back to beat Virginia after I left that game at halftime.
That's probably the turning point of this entire season, is an older lady telling you you are a curse on the team, you walking out and everything changing.
How about when I made Pitt my lock of the year, they got blown out by Michigan, and ever since then.
On a roll.
Yeah. If you're trying to give me credit.
Here. Yeah, credit yourself.
Fine by me.
You're a human jinx.
Well, Nelly Cummings was the catalyst last night. You heard him in the highlights there. You heard the game or watched the game. He was on fire. 21 points, 8 of 11. The graduate transfer by way of Colgate, Bowling Green, and, of course, Lincoln Park, where he left that school as the fifth leading scorer in Whippeal basketball history. And he joins us right now on The Fan. Now, Leandro Filippone and Chris Muller, were you in the zone last night? Is that how you would describe it in the Dean Dome? In the zone?
Yeah, I would definitely describe it like that. I think we all were in the zone. We all were feeling it, and we all just tried to feed off each other's energy.
Now, were you making your shots in pregame warm-ups? Because sometimes back in the day when I played, I'd have a crappy pregame, and then I couldn't miss in the game, and vice versa. Make everything in pregame, couldn't put it in the ocean during the game. How about before
the
game?
I don't miss a lot in pregame any time, so... Definitely yesterday I didn't miss a lot in pregame.
I know you've played, Nelly, in some big venues. I know you played in the Carrier Dome even before you got to Pitt. Go to Cameron Indoor, and that's like a claustrophobic place. What was the Dean Dome experience like? Because it's 20,000-plus who are all wearing powder
True.
Blue and all pretty ticked off at you.
Yeah, that was an experience for a lifetime for sure. I think it was really, like you said, I've had some other experiences, but that one was one of those ones that I'm going to keep for the rest of my life for sure.
Are you a guy that feeds off that energy from a road crowd? Some guys don't like it. Maybe the pressure gets to them. Some guys like playing at home. What have you felt like you are throughout your career? Somebody who thrives in those road environments?
Yeah, I thrive in those environments because I embrace the villain role. Sometimes I like I can be a villain instead of just being a nice guy all the time.
Well, there was a lot of
Wow.
Loved that game yesterday for that exact reason. Now, Andrew and I are in our late 30s, unfortunately, and we watched the old Big East, you know, and I say old, I mean like 20 years ago when it was rough and tumble.
Well, Nelly was watching the Big East growing up here. He's no stranger to Big East basketball.
Nelly, that game felt chippy as hell in the best way. You going at it with the players, the fans getting into it, that was an awesome, intense game to see from a viewing perspective.
For sure. It felt like that, too. Definitely felt like that old Big East energy, for sure.
Nelly, let's ask you about how the team feels about where they are right now. Do you get a sense? You have played on NCAA tournament teams. You have twice been the leading scorer for your team in an NCAA tournament game when you were at Colgate. So you know what an NCAA tournament team looks like. Does Pitt feel like an NCAA tournament team to you right now?
I think it's felt like that the whole time I've been here, for sure. I mean, we went through the good, the bad, and the ugly, but where we're at now, we're just trying to stay present, locked in on whatever opportunity comes next. But, I mean, the feeling is what it's supposed to be at this time.
Really? So even when you guys were struggling early in the season, Nelly Cummings still felt like we're going to figure it out and be a tournament team. Why is that? Why do you have that sense?
I believe in these guys. I believe in the coaches, the staff, the players. I believed in the city. I believed in all of this. So, like I said, I've been here before, so I remember what it used to be, and I just felt like we could get back to that.
Nelly, you start with those losses, what, three in a row, the two blowout losses, yes, and then a close one. Where do you feel like the turning point was for this team? Is there a game you can pinpoint where you said, okay, it's a rough start, but now it's starting to come together for us?
I think coming home from Brooklyn, we all had to really look ourselves in the mirror, and I think that's the qualities of a good team, mm-hmm. looking yourself in the mirror and realizing every single guy on the roster, the coaching staff, everybody has to do better. And I think we really approached it the right way, and we all put our hard hats on and got to work.
So you're the point guard. You're the floor general. Everybody knows that on just about any basketball team, the point guard is the leader on the floor, in some ways off the floor too. A lot of new faces on this year's Pitt roster, guys coming from all over. What did you feel like was your, you know, did you feel like it was your responsibility to sort of be the leader by example and maybe by word? How did you feel like that responsibility to bring a bunch of dudes who were coming from different schools together fell on you?
Yeah, I think, like you said, as a point guard, that's kind of your responsibility and your role. So I knew that coming into this program, that was something I had to do if I wanted to get the results that we're getting. So I just embraced it fully and really just locked in with these guys and wanted them to trust me. And I think I gained that trust early, and now we're here.
Nelly Cummings, who started at Bowling Green and then went to NCAA tournaments with Colgate, and now has Pitt, after his huge performance last night, in position to possibly go back to the tournament for the first time in many years. Now, why, Nelly, explain this to our listeners out there. Because Charles Barkley went on TV on Saturday and said, this is the stupid-ass transfer portal. Explain to our listeners why the transfer portal is actually a good thing in college basketball.
I think the transfer portal allows players like myself to, you know, have the career I had at the mid-major level and then get a chance to showcase it to the world at the higher level. So I think that's a good opportunity for guys. And then sometimes situations just don't work for certain players for certain reasons. And I think it's important for guys to have that freedom to, you know, be able to go explore their options elsewhere, because coaches are able to do it. Everybody else is allowed to do it. So I think players should be allowed to do that as well.
Nelly, you are one of the greatest scorers in Pittsburgh high school basketball history. Do you know off the top of your head how many points you scored in the Whippeal? Do you know the number?
I do know the number, because I just left my high school not too long ago. 2,411.
2,411.
Oh, my God.
411 points, fifth all-time. Where does the scoring ability come from, Nelly? When did you become a great scorer? Where does it come from?
Yeah. I give a lot of credit to my dad, you know. He kept me in the gym since I've been, I can't even remember the age. So I think when you spend as much time as I do in the gym, you're going to find ways to put the basketball in the hoop. So I spend a lot of time in my childhood and my early adulthood in the gym.
So what's a lot of time? When little Nelly Cummings, when dad would wake you up on a Saturday morning and say, all right, Nelly, we're going to go work on your jump shot today. How many hours would you spend that morning in the gym?
Oh, man. I mean, we're efficient with our work. We wouldn't spend too much more than 2 hours, but it was consistent. It was every single day. So
how many days a week?
Build 2 hours up. Every day.
How many days a month?
Every day of the month?
No off days.
No off days. So Christmas Day, Nelly Cummings is putting jump shots up.
Oh, yeah, Nelly Cummings. I'm in the gym, me and my dad.
So,
and my brother.
So are you?
And that's okay, right. Your brother's coming to Pitt.
Are you now? If your brother starts to sniff around that scoring mark of yours in high school, are you going to root for him to break that number?
Is he close?
Only the family. As long as it's him breaking it, I'm fine.
This is a serious basketball question about, you know, kind of scoring and then going to college. How hard of a transition is it, if at all, to know you're scoring? Obviously, the competition level is easier in high school. It's not college basketball. But to be such a big-time scorer and then know just in college, it's probably not going to be that way. You're not going to be asked to be that player in college. Was that a tough transition at all for you, like mentally?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can account that for one of the reasons why I transferred. So every player coming out of high school, you're the best guy on the court all the time, and, you know, your role is to score. I think for me, as a point guard, I had to learn how to, you know, do other things to contribute to winning.
Nelly, now, you watched your brother in Lincoln Park absolutely obliterate my alma mater, North Catholic, not that long ago. So thanks for that, I guess, although they had no chance against you guys in that game. How much kind of brotherly, older brother advice are you giving to Brandon on his game? How much, like, you know, constructive criticism for such a talented kid?
Yeah, man. My brother, he trusts me to be that guy to, you know, give him that constructive criticism. So I'm at the level that I've reached, and I think it would be almost like unfair for me not to give him the game and give him the knowledge that I have. So I give him it every single day, any way I can, because I want to help him be the best player he could be.
Has he ever beaten you in a friendly, brotherly game of one-on-one yet?
Oh, wow.
He hasn't yet, but I'm not playing him no more because I don't know if you've seen him dunking recently.
Yeah, he's got a. You're giving up a couple inches in height, and he's playing way above the rim,
man. How old was Nelly Cummings when he first beat his dad in a game?
I think I retired my dad when I was about 15 years old, 16 years old.
Was he genuinely, like, hurt by it? You could tell, like, oh, no. Oh, never doing this again.
It was more of a passing of the crown.
Gotcha. Nelly, thanks so much for popping on with us. Have you ever made 9 3-pointers in a game?
Oh, here we go.
I don't know. I don't think I have, but I heard you might have.
No, that's me.
Chris made 9 straight.
In a pickup game.
Chris made 9 straight at Penn State.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I'm coming for that.
We'll have to get you two guys in a gym.
Oh, no.
We'll get our great camera guy, Ben Tenuta, down there, and we'll have you guys maybe put on a little shooting exhibition, a little friendly competition sometime. Would you like that?
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Those rims are going to be bruised by me.
Keep on making them against North Carolina and the rest of the ACC, all right?
Yes, sir.
See ya.
Thanks, Nelly.
Nelly Cummings.
Good dude.
365 days in the gym. Donnie, were you out there putting reps in for your football career like that?
Oh, hell no.
You were eating that.
I would, you know, get the work in, but
you were going
not
to that,
365.
You were going to that place and getting those giant pizzas. What was the name of that place?
Haps.
Haps? The giant pizza.
I think it was like it was dedicated to a guy that was in the military and it was like his nickname.
Pony, if you could go back in time, just knowing what you know now about life, would you go back and try to like reapply yourself as a high school hooper?
No, I'm actually happy that I did.
You would have done less. You'd go back in time and do even less.
It just was pointless. I wasn't going to play in college or
so you
the
don't,
pros.
You don't believe that a 6'2 guy, you could have willed yourself into being a better player?
No.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.